what, that is the mindset that we need to have this week. We need to tell the Lord, have thine own way, Lord. We're going to look at a message this morning the Lord has laid on my heart in as we prepare our hearts and our souls and our minds for our youth rally this coming weekend. If we want God to show up, and I know as if we're saved by the grace of God, He's with us, but if we want Him to manifest Himself in our midst, and when I say that, I mean work, when He shows up, when He manifests Himself, He deals with hearts. If there's sin in a believer's life, He will make it known and they'll get right. If there's a soul in the building that doesn't know the Lord, when He shows up, they come under the conviction of their sin. And that's what we want this weekend. And that's why I've titled the message today, The Honored Guest. Because I know that we have been passing out flyers and posting flyers and inviting people. But let's not forget to invite our honored guest, who is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's not get so focused in inviting everyone else that we forget to invite Him. And I say that, but you say, well, isn't He going to be here? Yes, but Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He wants to be a part. He wants to manifest Himself, but He wants us to want it. And when we do, when we invite Him into the situation, be that our youth rally or be that something you're struggling in with your life, when He shows up, we're going to see today in our passage before us, great things happen. So John chapter number 2 is where we'll be, John chapter number 2, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. When you found your place, if you're able, please stand in reverence to God's holy word. John chapter number 2, reading verses 1 through 11. John 2, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to stand before Your people and open Your word to them. And I pray You'd give me the grace today, Lord, to rightly divide Your word. Lord, I need Your touch. I need Your help. Lord, I praise Your name for the prayer request You've already answered this morning. Lord, You didn't have to, but You did. And I praise Your holy name for that. And I pray now, Lord, You'd meet with us, speak through me to these people, speak through me to my own self. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to make it a priority to invite You to our youth rally this weekend or to anything in our life, Lord. Just invite You in to work and to move and to do what You want to do. And that's perform miracles, perform things, Lord, that only You could get the glory for. So I pray, Lord, You'd speak through me now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look at our text before us this morning, and I would like to think this isn't going to be very long, but we'll see where the message goes today. But the first thing I want to point out as we look at this very familiar passage where Jesus turns the water into wine, this first miracle that we see recorded in the Word of God, talks about there in verse number 11. The first thing I want to point out here is Jesus was invited. Jesus was invited. That we see here in our text before us, verse number 2, it says, "And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage." So that word called there literally means Jesus was invited. So we see here Jesus was invited to this wedding. And I've actually heard this passage of Scripture preached on in dealing with weddings and like rehearsal dinners or people preparing for their wedding. You need to make sure Jesus is invited to your wedding, to your family, or in our instance, to our youth rally. Maybe it's a situation you're struggling with. Jesus, I know for sure, knows what you're going through. And he knows what we have this weekend. And I believe he wants to help in the situation maybe you're struggling with. And I believe he wants to manifest his presence this coming weekend. I believe he wants to do things where we can look back and say, wow, that was God. That wasn't us, that was him. But he wants us to invite him in to do it. That's what prayer is, aligning our will with his and asking him to involve himself in our situation. Because if we don't, once again, Jesus is a perfect gentleman, and he's not going to force himself on us. He's not going to do something to us that we don't want. But if we'll ask him to, I believe he'll show up, and I believe he'll work a miracle like he has, like we see in this passage before us today. So we see Jesus was invited, but I want to point out before we can invite Jesus into something you're struggling with or to our youth rally this weekend, we need to have an atmosphere of purity. If we want our Lord to show up at our meeting this weekend, God's people need to be clean. We need to come absolutely clean with the Lord. And see, I can only get myself clean. I can only do my part. And you can only do your part. But if we want God to show up and manifest himself, I believe, like he wants to, and I believe he wants to do things where it can only be explained that he did it, but we've got to be pure. We've got to come clean. We need to this week, each and every day, pray the prayer, Lord, search me and know me, and show me if there be any wicked way in me, big or small. We need to get rid of it all this week so that he can show up like he wants to. Wouldn't you hate to think that you could be a hindrance to one of our services this weekend? I believe I have been a hindrance to services in my life because I had unconfessed sin in my heart that I didn't deal with. And I went to church, and I believe I hindered the work of God in that service because I had sin in my life. And I know that you don't want to be a stumbling block or something that hinders the Spirit of God doing what he wants to do. So if that's the case, we need to have an atmosphere of purity before we get to this weekend. I'm not saying, and it's fine that this weekend, if you get right and come clean during the meeting. But if we want God to do something in the hearts of all the kids and teens that I hope is going to be here, then let's come prepared. They may not, but let's come prepared to the house of God. Let's come prayed up. Let's come clean. Let's come ready for God to work and maybe even to use us. But to do so, we've got to have an atmosphere of purity. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I mean, we have that right to cover it, to not deal with it. But as long as we don't deal with it, he's not going to bless it. He's not going to bless our life. He's not going to bless our family like he wants to. He's not going to bless our church like he wants to until we're willing to deal with it. Maybe as I've been speaking, or maybe even before you ever got here, the Lord's revealed something in your life that you need to deal with. You have the right not to. But God's not going to be able to move like he wants to unless you're willing to deal with it. But that verse goes on. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God wants to restore, like we talked about in 1 John, that fellowship we preached on a while ago. He wants to restore that joy. He wants you to be able to come this weekend and praise and worship and glorify the name of God and just enjoy the services. Because I've sat in services in my life before where I knew that I had stuff in my life that I hadn't dealt with that I needed to, and everybody around me, they're enjoying themselves. God's on them. God's moving. God's manifest presence. That they're enjoying that. And I'm over there sitting like a knot on a log because I've got something in my heart that I don't want to deal with. I don't want that to be you this weekend, because I've been there and it's miserable. Everybody else is enjoying the Lord and I'm over there miserable. And God doesn't want it to be that way, but we've got to have an atmosphere of purity. It says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God is a God that delights in mercy. He wants to have mercy, but we've got to confess it. And by his grace, we've got to forsake it, and he will have mercy. And then Joshua 3:5. I love this. I actually almost preached this for today as well, because I was thinking on the youth rally and how to prepare our hearts and lives for it. But in Joshua chapter number 3 there, that Israel is about to finally cross over Jordan into the promised land. But before they could cross over to what God had for them, we see in chapter 3, verse 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." That word sanctify there means consecrate yourselves. Get clean, get right, and get close to God before we cross this Jordan River and go into the promised land. I believe the Lord wants to do something special this weekend. I believe He does. I believe He wants to possibly take Mountain City Baptist to a newer plane than we've ever been on before. But before we do that, we've got to sanctify ourselves, consecrate ourselves. We have got to get clean with God. We've got to. And if we will, I believe God will honor that. And God will bless this weekend. Wouldn't it be great to see many teenagers saved? Wouldn't it be great to see teenagers called to the mission field or called to preach? I believe God's still doing that. And I believe He wants to do that more. But may God help us as God's people to prepare our hearts to give the Holy Spirit free rein so that He can do what He wants to do in our lives and in the lives of the kids and teenagers. So, Jesus was invited, but I believe before we can invite Him, we've got to have an atmosphere of purity, but also an atmosphere of performance. Performance. What I mean by that, obedience. Not only do we need to come clean with the Lord this week, but we need to be serving the Lord this week. We need to walk with the Lord this week. We need to be faithful, and then we should be all the time. But especially as we get near a great meeting that we're hoping for this weekend, we need to be faithful to read our Bible. We need to be faithful to speak to the Lord in prayer. We need to be faithful to witness and hand out gospel tracts and live for the Lord this week. See, so many people think that when you come to a church that the greatest form of worship is if you shout, and who can ever shout the loudest and cry the most tears? But that's not true. That's a great form of worship, but I believe that's the most shallow form of worship. The greatest form of worship is you and me living a godly life for our Lord day in and day out in the world we live in. And see, if we will come clean with God, and if we'll live for God this week with a new fervor and passion, then when we come on Thursday and we've been drawing near to God and we've been coming clean with God and we've been walking with God all week long, and then we get to Thursday night, then the overflow, that's when the hands and the tears and the amens and the shouting meetings I've been a part of, when God's people have been walking with God all week long and then they come to church ready for church, that's when God shows up. That's when God moves, and that's when God changes lives. And that's what I want. I believe that's what you want. But we've got to have an atmosphere of purity, and we've got to have an atmosphere of performance. Let's get clean this week, myself included. Let's live for God this week. Let's draw near to the Lord this week. That way, when we come to church, we're ready. And you can't worry about the person beside you. All you can do is worry about yourself. You come ready. By God's grace, I'll come ready. And when we get here, we're going to worship God together. Hey, that happened a lot in the Old Testament. That they begin to worship. What happens in the book of Revelation? They begin to uplift and glorify and praise the name of Jesus. Then the Lord shows up and everyone falls to their knees, and that's what we want. I want God's people to come close to the Lord and worship God, and then God will manifest Himself and people will get right with God. Lives will be changed. And that's what I want this coming weekend. So we see Jesus was invited. And let's be sure not to forget to invite Him. I encourage you in your prayer, say, "Lord, we invite You to make Your presence known this weekend. We invite You to work in hearts and change lives." Because He wants our... Do you believe that's God's will? I do. And when we pray in God's will, remember, that's where the prayer is answered and that's where the power is. So we see Jesus was invited, but not only was Jesus invited, but we see also that Jesus was incited or stimulated or prompted to action. We see here, look at verses 3 through 5. It says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So Jesus was incited. Jesus was incited. The first thing I want to point out as we think about this is the request was specific. God wants us to be specific with Him. God, when we pray, say, God, save somebody this week. Maybe say, God, save this person this week. Say, God, work in this life this week. Get specific with God. You can even say, well, God doesn't care about me getting specific with Him. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He wants you to hear it all. The word supplication in the Bible means being specific with the Lord. That's what He wants. Let's quit praying in vague, broad sweeps, and let's get specific. God, save somebody this weekend. God, call somebody to preach this weekend. God, call somebody to the mission field this weekend. God, draw that person that's been away from you for so long back to you this weekend. Let's get specific with God this weekend. And then when He answers that specific prayer, like He did for me this morning, we can praise and glorify His name. And we're going to see later on, our faith will be strengthened. When we all get on board and we pray together, and then God answers that prayer, I've never seen such power in my life. There was a man that my home church prayed for a long time. I'll tell you his name because he wouldn't care. His name's Farron Green, and he was faithful to my home church. This is after I'd left and I was at Calvary, but he would admit that he was lost, but that God wasn't dealing with him anymore. He would admit that to you many times. And this went on for a year. And throughout that year, myself included, that church began to pray specifically for him. Everybody. Every person in that church got a burden for him. And God, in his mercy and in His grace, allowed me to be there one specific Sunday. I was actually supposed to preach. I didn't get to. But during the singing, that man's son got saved. That man's son made a profession of faith that morning. And wouldn't you know it? And as we were in the church service that morning, and as after his son came down, I heard a roar coming toward me. And you know what it was? I looked and turned, and he was running to the altar. And an entire church of people that had prayed for him saw God answer. And can you imagine the way that strengthened their faith? That's the only time in my life, because I'm not much for the running and the, but I was literally running the front pew just fist pumping because, I mean, it was such so powerful because an entire group of people prayed for that one man, and they all got to witness God do what they asked. And God wants to do that for us. If we can come together, pray in unity, that God would save somebody this weekend. That God would maybe call somebody to preach or to the mission field this weekend. Do something great this weekend. And then when He does, we can enjoy it together. Neyland Stadium couldn't hold a candle to that church that day when I was there. I'm telling you, I felt like that is the one time where I actually felt the roof might blow off a place. Because God's people together saw their prayer answered. And I believe that's why God had me there that day. Because I believe He wanted everybody that was praying for Him to see it, to strengthen their faith. And God wants to do that here. But we've got the request but specific. We've got to be specific. And God wants to hear what we have to say. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Come with the heart of worship, but come and be specific with Him. That's what happened here. So we see it was a request. The request was specific, but the request was one of surrender. I believe his mom came to him, and she came to him with nothing to offer. She came to him understanding she could do nothing to help the situation. And we need to understand that. If anything's going to happen in our this weekend at our church, it's not going to have anything to do with us. It's going to have everything to do with Him. If a soul is going to be saved, we can. That's up to God, and we need to come to Him humbly and say, "Lord, I've got nothing to offer. please do this weekend. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with something. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety or something along those lines or something in your life. If you're going to get anywhere with God, you need to invite Him. You need to get specific with Him. But you also need to surrender before Him. God wants to do a work in your life. Maybe you've got worry or anxiety. He wants to take it away. But you've got to give it. See, we're good at taking one hand off but leaving one hand on. We're good at laying it on the altar, but then whenever nobody's looking, picking it back up. That's how we are. But if we're going to have to surrender and admit, God, I've got nothing to offer. We need You. And only You are going to be able to do anything that lasts. I mean, yeah, we might could have a meeting where we have an emotional stir, but then 2 weeks later it's over. I don't want that. If something that's going to last is going to happen, then God's going to have to do it. And if God does it, it'll last. And it'll have His power and His touch on it. And that's what I want. And I know that I believe that's what you want. So, Jesus was incited. The request was specific, and the request was one of surrender. So we see Jesus was invited, Jesus was incited, and then we see then Jesus ignited. What I mean by that, Jesus started a fire. Not a literal fire, but this was the first miracle. And as you read throughout the New Testament, the more He did, the more people began to realize, and the more people wanted to be around Him. This is when the fire started. Jesus did a miracle. Look at our text, verses 6 through 11. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to them, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus at Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. So we see here, Jesus worked a miracle. The request was specific. The request was one of surrender. And then Jesus performed a miracle. You know, when the Lord saves a soul, that's the greatest miracle that we've ever seen. The salvation of a soul that's dead in their trespasses and sins is a greater miracle than our Lord parting the Red Sea. It's the greatest miracle there is. And God, I believe, wants to perform that miracle this weekend. I bet there's going to be people here that He's got here to hear His gospel, to hear what Christ did for them. He wants to perform that miracle, but we have got to do our part to prepare ourselves so that we are helpers to the work and not herders to the work or stumbling blocks to it. Let's come prepared so that God can flow through us and not stop at us. He wants to work. We've got to prepare ourselves. So we see here, He performed a miracle. Then we see, and in so doing, He pointed people to the Messiah, which was Himself. And that's what He wants to do. When the Lord shows up and lives are changed, people don't look and say, man, Tyler Fenner did a good job. No. If it's done right, it's going to point to the Lord. And that's what we want. We want this weekend, although it's going to be fun, we're going to have a great time, but we want this weekend to put all eyes on Christ. And all things that He might have the preeminence. That's what we want. And that's what will happen. If we get out of His way and let Him show up like He wants to show up. So we see then Jesus was ignited. And then we see, like I talked about already, we see the disciples' faith was increased. It says, and His disciples believed on Him. The Lord wants to strengthen our faith this weekend. So let's come together. Let's get clean. Let's get specific in prayer. And let's watch God do a miracle. And then once all said and done, our faith will be strengthened. And we can go out and by God's grace live with more fervor and love and passion because we saw our God be faithful. And that's why the Lord wants us in the Bible so much, because if you read your Bible, you can't help but see a faithful God. You can't help but see a faithful Lord. That's why the devil doesn't want you in there, because he doesn't want you to know God's faithful. That's why the devil doesn't want you to pray, because he knows when you do, if you do it right, the Lord will answer, and the Lord will grow your faith, and you'll be firm, more firm in your stance for the Lord. So we see here the disciples' faith was increased. And as you know, as you read throughout the whole the Old Testament or the New Testament, as it continues, the lost became intrigued. What happened last time we had Bruce Fry here? Something happened where people, random people were calling and said, who's that preacher you guys have there? I believe the Lord started a fire. And as you know, in be it a physical fire or a spiritual fire, you start a fire, people are going to want to come watch it burn. So let's pray God start a fire this weekend. In our hearts first. That's where the real power is at. Let it start with us. And let's come with the fire in us. And then it'll become contagious with everyone. And God will move in a mighty way. Let's pray that He start a fire this weekend. One that burns for the rest of our lives. Wouldn't that be something special? Wouldn't it be special years down the road if we could look back on April 7th through the 9th, 2022, and say, that's when it started. That's when it started. Wouldn't that be something special? God's done great things, but He wants to do greater things than we can even imagine. But we've got to prepare ourselves to allow Him to work, and we've got to invite Him in. Jesus is ready, willing, and able. We need to invite Him. So the question I want to ask as we, in conclusion, and then I'll be done. Are we ready for our honored guest? If Jesus, and He's here right now in every believer, but if Jesus were to manifest Himself right now, if He did, it would point out every sin we've got. Are we ready for Him? If the answer is no, we need to get ourselves ready for Him to show up so that He can do great things this weekend. I believe that's what you want. That's what I want. So let's come together in unity, praying together. And when God's people do that, great things happen. But let's get clean. Let's get specific. And let's watch Him work. I would love to just sit back and just see lives changed. I love watching services where you're seeing people you've prayed for get saved. You're seeing people you prayed for get called to preach. Seeing people you prayed for get right with God. God wants this weekend to be that meeting. I don't believe it's an accident that the Lord had our theme be changed. He wants to change lives this weekend. But let's get ready so that He can start a fire. And wouldn't it be great that this weekend started a fire that spread throughout the whole county? Wouldn't that be something? I believe that's what He wants. But may God help us to do our part so that it can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus.